Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation, recorded live from Bands of America Grand Nationals Marching Band Competition in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Lucas Oil Stadium, with special guest host Claire Krieger-Boaz.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. My name is Claire Krieger-Boaz and I'm sitting in for Mary Lurson. We are here at Bands of America Grand Nationals in Indianapolis at the great Lucas Oil Stadium. My guests today are the 2018 recipient of the Patrick John Hughes Parent Booster Award, Randy Barnett of Blue Springs, Missouri. Welcome. The namesake of the award, Patrick John Hughes. Welcome. Thank you.
Hello,
for
thank
coming
you.
Here.
Good to be here.
And Patrick Henry Hughes, Patrick John Hughes' son.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. It's great to be with you.
And James Stevens, Music for All.
Hello. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks,
thank
Claire.
you
know, just a quick aside, do you know Tom Meyer from Blue Springs?
Yes.
So he was the 2014 recipient. Yes. And he is a NAMM member and he is very active in music education and advocacy in Missouri. And he has come to Washington, D.C. with us to lobby on Capitol Hill for funding for music education. So there's something in the water in Blue Springs, Missouri.
I guess.
And maybe we'll get to what that is.
Tom's busy a lot.
Yes.
I mean, he's gone, always doing something, either for the band or for other students. He's always doing something.
He is, yes. He is very active. So thank you for being here. I'd love to start with the history of the award. James, maybe you can give us a little background on how it came to be in existence.
Certainly. A dear friend of mine and actually a Hall of Fame, Bands of America Hall of Fame member, Dean Westman, who resides here in Indiana, actually came up with the idea of the award in 2008. At the time, and I don't want to speak, I guess I am speaking for Dean, where I say he was, you know, extremely moved by the story of Mr. Hughes and his son, and being a member of, you know, marching band and drum corps activities, certainly has seen his fair share of volunteerism at its finest, and parents who just go above and beyond the call of duty. Basically said, let's celebrate the Hughes story and then look for a way to recognize on a national stage some of these fantastic stories. And so in 2008, the award was first introduced here at the Bands of America Grand Nationals. American Fork high school parent Dan Adams was the first recipient. The award, this is now the 11th year, if my math is correct. And you're right, Claire, we've got two award winners now from the great state of Missouri and Blue Springs High School, in fact.
Pretty incredible. And so in 2007, you received the award, Patrick John, right? You were sort of the origin point of the award. What was that like? How did that come about?
Well, it's always an honor to be here. And as James was saying, to have an award named for me is truly surreal. You know, I was just a dad who could work a night shift and be in marching band with his son, who, if you don't know my son's story, he's a wheelchair user and blind. So I was able to push him through the formations. But over the years, as I've always loved coming to BOA and seeing who the next year recipient is and the stories of these volunteers and all they do, it always just, and I get to read the nominees and things they're sent to me so I can read who's nominated and what all they do for their bands in their particular towns. And it just, year after year, I read them and I cry. It blows me away. And I think all I did was push my son in the marching band. And I read what these people do, and it really humbles me year in and year out to see all of the, and not just for me, it was 5 years of marching band with Patrick, but a lot of these people put in a lifetime of volunteerism with their bands, and it's truly incredible.
So you said you just pushed your son in a wheelchair, but Patrick Henry.
Yes.
There's no just pushing, right? There's more to that. I'd love to hear from your perspective what it was like to have such a supportive parent so that you could participate and move around this huge field, around 220 people.
Well, you know, it was great that Dad was able to do that for me in the marching band, because really it is kind of a labor of love. You know, you put in some long days and some long hours. You know, it starts out with 12-hour band camp days, 10 days before the actual classes are due to start. And then it's a 4-credit course. So we rehearsed every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4:30 to 6:30 under, you know, a baking hot August sun or cold weather for the winter times. And then for the game days, you had to be at the stadium 5 hours before kickoff. So if it was a noon kickoff, yeah, you had to be there at 7 a.m. for polishing instruments. And
was your dad with you at 7 a.m.?
Every game, every day. And of course, the way my chair is now, it was hard moving through that grass and turf. And, you know, it was a lot of hard work for dad, not only doing the marching band, but then coming home and trying to figure out a better way for my chair to maneuver around the field. So, you know, it's really great. And I'm really grateful that he did all that, not only during the pre-scheduled marching band events, like I said, but then afterward, at least for the first season or so, trying to figure out a way for my wheelchair to move around the field better.
But there was something about you, Patrick Henry, and your connection with music that drove your dad to want to do that. And I'm curious what you saw in your son, and then Patrick Henry, how you articulated this desire, because you have to really want to be there to do that, to get there 5 hours early.
Well, my wife, Patrick's our oldest son. We have three boys, and he's our firstborn. And obviously, you know, people ask us all the time, what was the hardest part of raising Patrick Henry, a child born without eyes, you know, no vision, and uses a wheelchair for mobility? And for my wife and me, it was really the hardest part was the first 2 months and just sort of wrapping our arms around what was going to be a way different life than what we anticipated. And even though Patrick was born different than most kids, if you want to use the word different, all kids are different, right? But anyway, what we wanted Patrick to have as full a life, despite being born the way he was, that we wanted him to have before he came into this world this way. So for us, once we got our heads wrapped around, you know, our son and what we needed to do as parents, which was even more than we had expected to do, then the rest was just raising our child and giving him every opportunity to be the best Patrick Henry Hughes that he could be. Whatever that was through all of the years of, you know, his early years and education and then on to college, whatever that was, my wife and I stepped up to make that happen. So when it was time for marching band, then it was like, okay, I'll work a night shift and I'll do marching band with Patrick. We didn't want anybody else out there on the field with our son, potentially dumping him out of the chair in front of 50,000 fans on a Saturday afternoon. It had to be me. And, you know, and it's just one of the greatest gifts God gave me was to be healthy enough to do it and to have a son who was Patrick is a phenomenal musician.
And how did you know that? When did you know that?
Well, it's very interesting. I was a music major in college, and you'd think, I guess maybe people would think, a guy who's a music major and plays violin and piano and guitar and whatever, you have a son that's born blind, what would you think? Well, he can be a musician, right? There's Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, and the list goes on and on. Ronnie Millsap, you know, there's all kinds of them. But that didn't really occur to me. I guess I was just so wrapped up in, and maybe a little self-pity. Why did this happen to us? You know, why is my son this way? But when Patrick was only a few months old, he was crying and very upset, and we couldn't get him to quit crying like all babies go through. And I laid him up on top of the piano we had at our house one day, an old upright piano against a wall, so he wasn't going to roll off. And I began to play, and he got quiet immediately. And so we discovered when Patrick was only 4 or 5 months old that anytime he was upset, I could play piano, and it would, well, we think it soothed him. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes we look back on it and we think maybe it might have brought me to a whole new level of terror. But there you have it.
It all based on my piano, you know, talent or lack thereof. But anyway, so that worked. And so that naturally evolved into one day I was doing that. My wife came and took Patrick off the piano and set him in my lap. He was 9 months old. And so I played three notes on the piano, one in the middle and one up high and one down low, just at random. And that baby, that 9-month-old baby, trial and error, found those three notes and repeated them to me And of course, we're at 9 months old, and all of the challenges that Patrick was facing already, the physical differences in him, we were always worried, how would he develop cognitively? And I told my wife, I said, this baby is brilliant. He can do this already. And so we just kept pushing that agenda and setting Patrick in front of the piano with a high chair that worked for him. And, you know, it's a whole other God story why we even had a piano in the house. That's a neat story. I could go on and take all your radio time. But anyway, Patrick just had a gift. And as parents, I was so lucky to discover what his gift was and to be able to help him pursue that gift. You know, my original goal was that Patrick would be an athlete. He would be a star on the football field throwing a touchdown or, you know, making a game-saving tackle. And of course, he was born, and I thought, well, that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, amazing things can happen, and Patrick became a star on a football field in ways I couldn't imagine. So never give up. Never give up. No matter how crazy it may seem, your dreams can come true, just like mine did.
Wow. It's an absolutely incredible story and a testament to the connection between parents and a child. And I mean, I'm sure you are aware, you know, I listened to the story of Patrick Henry laying on the piano, and whether or not it was the sound or the vibration that soothed him, just this sort of whole connection to music that you created at a very young age, and that then you nurtured and kept your eye on, and he took to. And then did you have music in school?
I did have music in school. Of course, I kind of had like general music classes for my first 2 or 3 years of school. But then when I got into the fourth grade, I think these days it's mandatory, but when I was in school, it was voluntary. You could be in either the band or the orchestra. And once I'd become fairly proficient with the piano and being able to sing and things like that, you know, I had some electronic keyboards and some tapes with all different genres of music. I started wanting to maybe experiment with other musical instruments. Now, because I'm unable to completely straighten my arms and legs, there are certain other movements I can't do with my hands, which would be the proper technique to hold and play a stringed instrument. So the orchestra was out of the question. So I went for band. Now, when I joined the band, I originally wanted to play the drums because I was really interested in particular the metallic percussion instruments, the cymbals, the, you know, the little bells, the tambourine, maybe things like that. But on a drum set, you have to move your body in certain ways to be able to hit more than one drum at once, which unfortunately I can't do. And then there are these foot pedals that you use to operate the bass drum and what's called the hi-hat cymbal, which I wouldn't be able to reach those pedals. So my parents gave me the trumpet because, well, it's made of metal. And both of them actually can play a little trumpet. My mom played a little bit of trumpet in high school, and then my dad's brother, my uncle, was a member of the University of Louisville's pep band and played the trumpet there, and dad picked up some trumpet knowledge from him, and they thought that together he and mom would be able to work with me on the trumpet wherever I might need help, and the rest, so they say, is history.
Wow. That is terrific. And so this is 2007. The award is first given. Here we are 11 years later. We come to Randy Barnett from Blue Springs, Missouri. And what is your story?
Well, my son started his freshman year, 2003, I think it was, with the Golden Regiment. And he was a percussionist. He played the drums. And he did it for 3 years. In his senior year, he decided he wasn't going to do it, because it took so much time and everything else. So he wasn't going to do band. And he told me, he says, well, I'm not going to do band this year. And I said, well, I am. So I continued to do it, you know.
You did.
And yeah. And I've done it ever since. I can't play an instrument. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't sing. I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I can do, and I, you know, you'd see the kids pushing a cart and the wheels doing one of these things on it or something like that. And I can just fix things like in the tape that Dr. A sent up here, the former percussion director said that I could fix anything with a pair of pliers and a roll of duct tape, which is, if you go to our trailer, that's kind of what I can do. You know, I just have the ability to jury-rig stuff spur of the moment or find somebody that can fix it right.
So I need to back up for a second. So your son stopped doing band.
Yes.
And did he go back when you said you're going to continue to work with the band?
No, he didn't do it his senior year.
He didn't?
No.
But you went anyway.
He has told me since. He's sorry he didn't.
I'm sure. You are probably the coolest dad in town.
So I just, okay, whatever, you know.
And do you help with the design of the sets?
No.
No.
No, the props, I used to help with the props and building the props and everything. Right. But the last props I did, we had this show as the Berlin Wall. And we had these carts. It was like these big sails, like 15 foot long, 11 foot tall. So we had to have a heavy cart to hold them because the wind would blow them over. And those carts weighed about a ton apiece. And ever since then, they haven't even asked me to help with the props. Oh. So I think they're afraid. No, he overdoes stuff. So, because I tend to kind of overdo things sometimes.
So are you born and raised Blue Springs?
No, I grew up in Wrightown, Missouri, which is a suburb of Kansas City. Blue Springs is a suburb of Kansas City, Missouri. And I grew up there, went to Raytown South High School.
And did you grow up with music at all? And did you have music in the classroom, in your house, family, church,
no,
nothing?
No? Nothing. I wanted to, but my folks weren't that well-to-do, and my older brother didn't do it, so I didn't get to do it. You know, I really, really was interested in it, but then never really did.
Wow. And so you have been doing this for is that right? 17 years?
Yeah.
17 years you continue to go. And my understanding is that you don't live super close to the school.
No, I live on the other side of town now. About 8 years ago, I met my wife and she lived on the Kansas side of the state line because Kansas City has Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas. And we're over on the Kansas City, Kansas side. And it's like 45 minutes to get to Blue Springs.
So what's your connection specifically to Blue Springs High School?
Well, I lived out there for 30 years.
Okay. So you put down roots and you continue to invest in that
right.
program.
Yeah.
Wow. What was your reaction when you heard that you received this award?
Well, I was shocked. They had a mandatory parent meeting for travel. Dr. A does that before they start traveling for the season. And he called me up on stage. Well, no. He started talking. Then he gets a phone call. And it was you, wasn't it, James?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And he says, he's talking a little bit, and he says, well, I'm in a meeting, you know, and then he talks a little bit more, and then he goes, Randy, it's for you. So I got to go up in front of all the band parents, you know, and I have no idea what's going on. And I was about to pass out. It was so hot up on that stage, all them stage lights shining down and everything else. And he put James on the speakerphone, and so he announced it to the whole band at the same time and me.
And like so said, what was your reaction? How did you feel in that moment?
Well, like I said, I about just fainted dead away.
Yeah. What did your son say? I bet he really wishes he'd stuck with band now.
He says, now, how am I supposed to live up
I
to
know.
Stuff like this?
Yes.
And we were discussing that yesterday. I worked construction and kind of just had a run-of-the-mill life until I retired. And then I got involved with the veterans and the band. And my whole life is totally different, the second half of my life, than the first part of my life. Since I was 52 years old, my life is totally different than the first 52 years.
Well, it's interesting because people often say that when you volunteer or you give or you are of service, you get more back, right, than you give often. I mean, you just sort of fill up in this way. Is that your experience? Do you feel different in this act?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I decided when I retired, I never did like what I did for a living, but I kind of looked at it, do what you can do to make the most money. See, when you're not working, you can do what you want to do. And then when I retired, I'm not going to sit around and not do anything. So I got really involved with the veterans. And then when he joined the band, it struck a chord with me. I don't know what it is.
But unintended.
Yeah.
That's
really.
A good one.
It's just something I fell in love with. And I've done volunteered. We have our own festival, and I've done every job at the festival, run the concession stand, probably the worst job there, but all the way to holding the quiet sign when the bands, that was what the last year. Now, the last couple of years, I haven't worked the festival, but I volunteered for everything that came along, even though my son wasn't in the band. I was still there.
Wow. That's amazing.
And I really, sitting here across the table from them, the person this award is named, it's very humbling, you know, because I feel like what I do, I got some wrenches and nuts and bolts and make a few things,
right,
you know.
Right, but again, but you think about, I mean, especially when you know, so many schools are underfunded and they don't have, it's all that. It's all the tinkering, the fixing things, the making costumes, the pushing wheelchairs, repairing instruments, and every part of that creates this, right? And so I want to hear from you, James. You have the coolest job on the planet because you get to call these parents and you're part of this legacy.
It is an amazing opportunity. And Dr. Tim Altshaus, who was the, you know, director of bands at, is the director of bands at Blue Springs, put in the nomination supporting Randy. And it was one of those things where this meeting, as you were mentioning, was scheduled. It was on the books. So it was kind of in the turnaround time of those that are evaluating it. You know, we have a panel of folks that are connected to our organization and those that we feel have the, you know, I don't know, authority or whatever is the right word, but to go through and read those and kind of make a ranking. And I will tell you this, this is just a sort of side anecdote, that those that do take a look at those always come back and say, that is the most difficult job I've done in my life. And they are teary-eyed to the point of being moved so emotionally. So then, yes, Claire, it is quite an amazing experience to be the bearer of that exciting news. One of the best parts of my job is being able to do that. But, you know, hearing you share your story, I've got a sort of a question for you as well. So we know over the years, there are so many parents who say, hey, I've never been involved in music, but I've supported my own son or daughter in that musical endeavor. And so when they show up for this marching band thing, what was it? Do you remember that was that trigger that goes, well, here's how I can be involved?
Trying to remember. I don't know. I don't remember one particular thing that said, well, I need to do this from now on. It's just, I got interested in it and I don't know. And now it's kind of grown to year round, you know, like we redid an old ticket booth for electronic storage. We did that in January, you know, so it's not just marching band season. It's a year round thing just about, oh, you know, they break an instrument, they call me to.
You do instrument apparel as well?
Well, just like the marimbas and the anything I were capable of, but and the other stuff, Tom Meyer does.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And if he can't do it, send it to his brother Mike.
Yeah. Nice to have a supporter that owns a music store.
Right. I'm so struck because you both say just, I just did, I just. 17 years of building, tinkering, repairing, fixing this kind of wheel, the wiggly wheel, can drive somebody completely insane. And the fact that you paid attention to that and then said they deserve to not have a wiggly wheel and I know how to fix it. Because think about how many people see that wheel and do nothing and think, oh, that's a bummer, and let it go by. And I mean, same with you. I mean, you this whole award was all of these people that are getting this award are getting it because somebody noticed what you were doing. I'm struck by the language we use to sort of I don't want to say you're not minimizing what you're doing, but it's like you're so humble about it. You know what I mean, James? It's so, because I hear what you're doing and I'm thinking.
Well, it's the remarkable part of the highest level of volunteerism and servant leadership, I think, where I know that Randy is so beloved by the students and the parents of the community. And so that translates the language that he's using to just say, hey, I'm, you know, you want to serve. You're the person who does what others are maybe not even noticing or thinking about, which makes this award so well deserved.
I think the saying is it's a labor of love.
Right.
Right.
And I mean, the volunteers all around the country who keep music alive for kids. I mean, if there's not Randy's helping these bands out.
Exactly.
They're beating their heads against a wall, so to speak. I mean, they're already up against budget cuts and everything else. But you got people like Randy who come in and step up. And you know what? We're going to make this happen for this band and for these young people so that this is an incredibly positive experience. And it just makes all the difference in the world. And I know I shouldn't speak for you, but I know you agree. It's a labor of love. You just love doing it. It's the whole, you know, you get back so much more mm-hmm. than what you give in the enjoyment you see in the students doing what they do. And it just makes it so worthwhile. People who don't volunteer are missing out.
It just
on incredible opportunities.
Amazes me to be out in the parking lot. I don't think anything about loading, unloading trailers, helping with the props or whatever. But to sit and watch the other band parents, because I've seen our band parents do it 100 times, but to see what other band parents go through too, and that they're doing it, they're traveling from Oklahoma or Texas and, you know, and driving all that way and getting up here, and most of them on there, they're paying for their own way up here and everything, and then do all that hopefully three or four times in one weekend. It just amazes me the commitment other band parents have too. This award should actually be going to like probably 750 people over the years that band parents that have made my job a lot easier to do things, because I've always got somebody, well, you know, I need some help doing this or doing that.
Well, it's true. It's truly a community effort.
Yes, it is.
I think that's the beauty of all of this is this, the marching band, this competition, none of this can be done alone. And so this is what you're giving to your kids and to your community. And the other thing that is so moving about all of this is kids look for every reason to quit or stop. It is so easy to become discouraged. And a kid with the wiggly wheel, maybe they've had a bad day and they think they stink and they don't deserve to be here. And the wiggly wheel, maybe something falls off the cart and he makes a decision. He's done. That's his last day. You, by fixing that, have taken that away from him in a good way. So now he doesn't, I mean, there are a million reasons that Patrick Henry could have wanted to quit or say, never mind.
And you know,
that wasn't going to be one of them, getting around the field.
And you know, that's an interesting thing that you bring up, because yes, I did have my days where, of course, I didn't want to go to classes to begin with. And then, you know, maybe the weather wasn't so great outside and it had already been a long day. You know, I didn't want to have to go out there at 4:30 and do a 2-hour marching band rehearsal. I would, you know, rather have been going home, sitting in my nice heated or air-conditioned house, getting through that homework assignment that, well, I didn't really want to do that in the first place either.
No.
But see, at the time, my dad was working the night job so that he could take care of me and do all that stuff. And I kind of drew inspiration from him, because not only was Dad doing classes and marching band and yes, maybe even helping out with a homework assignment if there was a book I couldn't read or whatever, he was doing that on what, maybe 3-4 hours of sleep a night, whereas I got a full night's sleep. So why do I have anything to complain about?
And that's something that motivates me to do more, or to do what I do, the commitment of the kids in the band and the band, the staff, to put in the hours that they put in and going over and over and over the same thing till they get it down. I mean, they're over in the convention center now going over and over the same thing they went over yesterday and they performed this morning. Their commitment inspires me to continue to do what I do.
Well, and one of the things I was going to ask you, but I feel like I already know the answer, but is how do you sort of recharge and take care of yourself when you're so selfless in your activities? And I think the answer would be from you that you get it back. This does recharge you. Is that a fair?
Patrick Henry and I don't know when we first discovered it, but I remember the story he just told about how what I was doing motivated him when he was maybe feeling a little down or a little overwhelmed. But Patrick my son has been the greatest motivator to me, you know, my entire life. I mean, the things I used to get upset about, like I didn't like my job or I didn't like having to drive a minivan or, you know, we get so bogged down on the minutiae and, you know, different things. But Patrick came into my life and it was like, you know, why do I let these things wear on me? Look at this young man and just his average day, the obstacles and hurdles that he has to face and overcome that I don't, you know, I just do with a snap of my fingers that are, you know, take him a lot longer and a lot more effort. And it really woke me up as a young person to see what he went through. And so anytime I was discouraged or tired because I'd worked overtime and didn't get any sleep and was back at the university going to classes with Patrick and then having that afternoon band rehearsal or whatever, it was like, well, shoot, Patrick's endured all that he's endured. I'm not going to not do it and disappoint him. So we just kind of fed off each other. It was really, it was cool. And we still do. I mean, even these days, the traveling and,
we are a team.
And the speaking, yeah, we get to go a lot of places and do a lot of things. And sometimes you get a little road weary, but as soon as we're in front of an audience and have a chance to share our story, and my wife will sometimes laugh at us because she says, are you telling the same story? I'm like, well, yes, honey, but it's an entirely different audience. It's the first time they've heard it, even though you've heard it, you know, 1,000, and it will motivate them to be the best that they can be. And that's the whole point, is we just want to make the world a better place. And Patrick made it a better place for me. And hopefully he feels I made it a better place for him.
Well,
I don't want to speak for
all
him.
Of you have made the world a better place. I mean, it's so wonderful. And all day we've been talking to people and young people and adults that are operate in this world in one way or another in a marching band, and how much hope there is. I mean, the news is tough lately, right? And we have this little haven in here of hearing these wonderful stories. And I think what you're doing and what you're talking about and the things that you do, they're not minor. They're, you know, the pebble in the water and the ripple goes out. And everybody, I'm sure you inspire these parents all the time, think how lucky they are to have you and the kids. And obviously, because you're getting this award tonight.
Actually, today, somebody posted on Facebook 20 things that the band parents needed to do while they were in Indianapolis. And one of them was shake my hand. So all day long, people have been taking my picture.
That's
shaking
so great.
Their hands, so.
I thought you were going to say it was a list and you did them all.
No, I haven't done them, but one of them was shake my hand. So
it's, oh, that's
and they've
feel
all
good.
Been coming up, you know, and telling me congratulations.
You know, if you just watch the evening news, it's easy to get discouraged. But there are millions of good news stories out there. They just don't sell papers, as the old expression is. But yeah, there's a lot of good in the world. You just have to dig a little deeper for it. And yeah, you have to be willing to see it. You have to be willing to look for it, and you have to be willing to see it. But it's out there. Yeah.
Right. And how many of those good stories is connected to music, right? I bet many, many, many more than we could ever tell.
Music has changed my life. I mean, I started when I was very young, like Patrick, playing the songs I heard my brothers and sisters play. Randy, you reminded me of my mom earlier, who I love my mom dearly. She's 86 years old. And gosh, she can't carry a tune in a bucket, I believe is what you said. And my dad was very poor growing up, and I never had the opportunity to pursue music. I mean, he had to get a job in high school just so his family could stay fed. But Dad was I reflect on it, and Dad was a great whistler. I remember hearing my dad whistle a lot, and he could really whistle well. And I think maybe, and I don't know if music is just something in the brain that's wired one way or the other, or if it's hereditary, or it's just a gift, you know, depending on who you are or how you're wired. But I wondered often if Dad maybe had the opportunity to pursue music, if maybe that gift was in him. But I just loved watching it in my son through the years. And then now being a part of this, part of Bands of America and Music for All, and seeing these people, learning these stories of volunteers like Randy, who give their all to their high school band, wherever it is in America. It's just, it's inspiring.
It
so
is inspiring.
Inspiring.
And kudos to you for taking it to the national stage and shining a spotlight on this.
Well, I think we have our organization would say we have a duty and a responsibility. I mean, we want to, at Music for All, our mission is to create, provide, and expand positively life-changing experiences through Music for All. And I'm around fantastic people right now, and I'm just being somewhat reflective when I just think on the other side of this wall, you know, there's these fantastic band performances that are going on. Certainly, Randy is a super booster, but no doubt every single one of these performances are being able to happen because of a strong parent booster and community support mechanism that is, you know, something that we look at as how can we share that? Because there's something there that, you know, those stories, those best practices are examples that hopefully could be shared and replicated.
I love it. Well, we're going to wrap up right now because you have an award to accept pretty soon here. We don't want you to be late to your...
Yeah, I'm not big on awards and stuff, you know. I don't need them. I get my own rewards.
Yeah.
I don't really need that, but...
Well, I think other people need to recognize your effort, your work, and the good. It feels good to recognize good deeds and people who care.
Some other parents,
it does,
or something,
and it's
involved.
Important to acknowledge your engagement and the role you play in getting that marching band out on the field. Well, thank you all so much for being here. Congratulations, Randy Barnett of Blue Springs, Missouri, for being the 2018 Patrick John Hughes Parent Booster Award recipient.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick John Hughes, Patrick Henry Hughes, James Stevens from Music for All.
It was our pleasure.
This is it for Talking Up Music Education from Grand Nationals in Indianapolis. Thank you.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.